I too would like to say I'm grateful to be here this morning, and it is a wonderful occasion to spend time in the church and see these young people as they make this public confession of their faith and this step in their lives. And I've been thinking about that this week, and I think my mind maybe wandered a little far afield from strictly what's happening here today, but I've been thinking about decisions and the things that we decide and how they affect our lives. And you know, so often we make decisions and years go by and we still feel the effect of those decisions. And you know, what led each of these young people to this point this morning is a decision that they made to follow Jesus. And like Dayton said, in some places you make that decision, you're basically putting yourself out there as public enemy number one. You are somebody that the world can now use as a target of hatred. They want to kill you. They want to harm you. It's not that way in our country, but still, these young people did make a decision that when they follow through with that decision, they're going to face things, and they know this. They're going to face consequences for the decisions that they make. They're going to, you know, in spite of all those things, they've decided to make that decision. They're going to face the world's sneers, so to speak. The world's going to laugh at the things that they believe and the things that they do with their lives. They're going to say, you know, why are they doing that? That's stupid. They're going to face personal battles. But today, they're making this public decision, and they can look back on this decision, on this event today, and as a stepping stone in their lives. You know, when we make decisions in our lives, all of us, they do change the course of our lives. They make us who we are. And when we choose to follow Jesus, we deny ourselves. We choose to deny ourselves. We choose to deny the world. We choose to deny sin, and no longer do we call the shots in our life. Jesus now, we're following Jesus. He's going to call the shots in our life. And sometimes it's going to be things that we really don't want to do, places we really don't want to go, maybe as selfishly. But we're going to follow that decision. And each day, I think we're faced with little decisions that have a bearing on the big decision that we made to follow Jesus. Each day we're going to face little decisions that are going to be like, are you going to follow Jesus more closely today, or are you going to make a decision that leads you just a little bit away from him? Some of those decisions are really subtle. They can be sneaky. They can, you know, you don't recognize them as the important thing that they are. Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15, he said this to the Israelites long after they had crossed the Jordan and had taken over much of the land of Canaan. He said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So here was the Israelites. You know, they had already made this decision. Really, we would say, yeah, they already decided to follow God. But Joshua's saying, you know, you're going to have to make this decision again and again and again. You're going to have to decide, are you going to follow Jesus when the going gets tough, when the Amorites look pretty attractive, when their way of life looks pretty appealing? Are you going to keep on following this decision and keep on making that decision? You know, it must have looked weird to the outsiders to see the Israelites, after they made a decision to follow Jesus or to follow God in the crossing of the Jordan, here they started marching around Jericho. It must have looked really strange. You know, here they were just day after day marching around Jericho. But that was a result of the decision they made to follow God. Our world today says, live for today. And, you know, that sounds good, but what you do today, the decisions you make today, will have an effect on your future. And the world would like to ignore that and just say, you know, just do what feels good today. That's all that matters. But And as much as we don't like it, our past affects our present. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the past, maybe how we should look at the past of our decisions, and also maybe a little bit about the future. To me, the past can be a scary thing, and I think probably to all of us, we can recognize that own feeling in our own hearts, because there's lots of things back there that we would rather forget, and it can be a real hindrance to us. You know, why did God give us the ability to remember the past? We can look back on all the decisions we made, whether good or bad, and we can remember what happened because we did that. I don't think it was an accident that God gave us that ability. I think he gave us that ability to learn from it. You know, we don't want to dwell in the past, but, you know, Paul reminded the readers of his epistles about their past sometimes. And in 1 Corinthians, he reminded the Corinthians what they were like. He gave this long list of evil things, of the works of darkness. And then he said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So Paul wanted them to remember who they were before Jesus. But he didn't leave them there. He just said, you know, that's where you were, but now you're here. And, you know, it could do good for us to remember, too, where we were and realize where the Lord has brought us and what he's brought us out of. There's a saying that that those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And I think there's some truth in that. We need to look at our own lives and realize that we can learn things from the decisions that we have made in the past. A few things I wrote about the past, some things we should think about. For one thing, you can't change the past. And this is where a lot of people get into trouble. You can't change what happened back there. You can't change the events. You can't take back the words that you said to somebody or that they said to you. You can't change the things that you did or the things that people did to you. But you can change the response that you have to those things. And that is the key to taking care of our past. If it's something we've done, we need to ask forgiveness. We need to make restitution. We need to make it right. If it's something somebody else has done, we need to forgive that person. And I know it sounds easier than what it really is. A man named Lewis Smedes wrote this phrase. He said, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." You know, that's what we need so often in our past. When we go back there, we think we need to have forgiveness. We need to take the forgiveness into our own lives for the things that we've done, and we need to extend that forgiveness to others. Only then can we be free from those things in the past that we can't change. And we live in a culture where people blame everybody can blame somebody for their problems, for their little quirks, the way that they act, the things they do. We can blame somebody. We go to the past and we say, oh, somebody did this to me, therefore I'm this way. But, you know, in spite of the fact that our culture does that, it doesn't work. It doesn't solve any problems to blame others or to blame something about yourself on somebody else. The only way to get free from that is to forgive and to move on and take forgiveness for your own sins, take responsibility for your own sins. So what kind of effect others have on your life is really up to you. You can't change the things that they do to you. You can't change the things that you've done, but you can change your response to those things. Another thing about the past that is encouraging is that, you know, it can be a milestone to remember. And today, these young people are going to be baptized. And in years from now, they can look back on this time and say, yes, October 20th, 2013, I was baptized in Kootenai Valley Mennonite Church. They can look back on that decision. They're looking back right now also on the decision that they made to follow Jesus that brought them to this place. They look back and they say, I made that decision. They see it. And they acknowledge that I'm going to follow through with that. I'm going to keep going with that. When the Israelites crossed over the Jordan, they were told to carry a stone for each tribe of Israelites that went across the Jordan. They were to carry a stone across and put it on a pile. And God told them that this is a way for you to remember what I did for you. And when your children ask you, you know, what are these stones? Then you tell them. I think it's good to put milestones, to remember the milestones in our lives as a memorial to, you know, what we decided, something that God did for us. Remember those things, and that you can carry them with you, and they will be an encouragement to you as you move on to other things. Another thing that the past can be is instructive to us. You know, what would we be like? What would our concept of God be like if we didn't have the Old Testament and the stories that we have of God working in people's lives? You know, we can take those as lessons for our own lives. Paul, he had to. He also talked to the Ephesians about their past, and you know, he says that. I'm going to read some verses out of Ephesians 2. And this is just part of remembering of where God brought us, what God brought us out of, and where we were before God forgave our sins, before He changed us. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." You know, Paul here, he really gave a nice view of our past, our present, and our future. And, you know, he said, look, this is where we were. We were sinners. We had, our lives were defined by the sin that we did. But God, He saved us from that. And He's changed us. He's made us alive. And He's going to show us the riches of His grace, and someday, you know, eventually heaven. So it's good to remember what God has brought us out of. David, in the Psalms, he said, you know, He brought me out of a horrible pit, and he remembers that. You know, and the other thing I had to think of along with the Old Testament is, I was talking to somebody about the two men on the road to Emmaus, and you know, what did Jesus tell these two men on the road to Emmaus? They spent several hours walking together. Can you imagine the lack that we would have if we didn't have the Old Testament showing us Jesus in so many ways? How would we, you know, this is a great encouragement to us to read the Old Testament and see the sign that Jesus is coming. We see it throughout the Old Testament. We have that past to encourage us and to help us to understand who God is and how He works. Another thought about the past is that it can be overcome. You know, we often live in this place where we wish we could change something, and, you know, as I talked earlier, we have to take those things to the cross and have those things forgiven, and to forgive others who have harmed us. And, you know, we can overcome those things in the past that hinder us today. We don't have to carry it around with us as an excuse for the present. We don't have to have it as an excuse of why we're living the way we are today. It can be forgiven. The most precious thing about the past, in my opinion, is the fact that it can be forgiven. And every sin that we have committed in the past, when a sinner comes to Jesus, he can have those sins forgiven. And it can be a long list. Even today, as we live and as we fight the good fight, and as we fail sometimes, we can have those sins forgiven, and we don't have to keep going back to those and saying, oh, I'm so, you know, I wish I could change that. We can realize that they are forgiven. In Psalms 103:11, it says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." And the next verse says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." You know, when I see these young people here with their white shirts and white dresses, I have to think, you know, That's the way that our lives can be in Christ. You know, we've all committed sins. We've all done things that are deserving of punishment. But we can have our lives cleansed and made clean and white, just as anyone can. Paul knew about his past. You know, I had to think of Paul. He must have struggled with the thought that, you know, I persecuted the followers of Jesus. I was instrumental in killing some of these people. Wouldn't that have been a hard thing to carry around with you? But Paul says this in Philippians 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul, what was he forgetting here? I don't think he was forgetting his past life, really. It's just not possible to forget the things that you've done in the past completely. But I think Paul was, the word has more the idea of putting it out of your mind. I think Paul was saying, I'm not going to dwell on the things, the failures and the sins of the past, because those are forgiven. I'm not going to dwell on those anymore. I'm going to move from that to the next step. I'm going to press toward the mark in spite of the things that I've done, because I know that God has forgiven those. Okay, I'm going to change just a little bit. I'd like to talk maybe just a little bit about the future. What we do today has a bearing on our future as well. But unfortunately, we sometimes think about the future in ways that we shouldn't. And the first thing that came to my mind is worry. Sometimes we worry about what the future holds for us. Worry can be a drag on the joy of your life. And I'm not suggesting that you don't make preparations or you consider the future, because, as I said before, your decisions do affect the future. Your decisions that you make today will affect what happens to you later. But we have to realize that God is the provider of what we have. You know, if we start worrying about food and if we start worrying about money and things like that, we have to realize that God is really the ultimate provider of those things. We need to place those things in His hands. And I really like this passage in Luke where Jesus talks to His disciples about this. And it really convicted me that, you know, there's really no room for worry in my life. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So the fact is that God has everything provided that we need for our future. We don't have to worry that He's not going to be there. The God who knows how to save a lost person, how to bring them out of their sin, you know, He's the God that can provide whatever we need as Christians to follow Him. So there's no room for worry. In our future, it can be different than our past. This is another encouragement to me, because we look back and we say, you know, I made some mistakes. I want to be different. And it can be different. We don't have to have a past that is defined by the things that we've done or a future that's defined by the things we've done in the past. And the most encouraging thought to me in this idea is that it can be a victorious future. We can have a future defined by victory in our lives. Nobody wants a gloomy outlook on their life. The world tries to tell you that, you know, you do this and we've got the best outlook for you. We have the most rosy outlook that there is, but it's such a huge lie. You know, as the children of God, we really do have the best outlook on life. If we hold on, there is victory for the Christian. 1 John 5, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And you know, I had to think, in spite of all the things that we have in the past, that maybe we have a struggle dropping, have a struggle forgetting and overcoming, we can know that our future can be a victorious future. You can feel the hope that is in these words, you know, that we are part of Christ. Christ overcame the world, therefore we can overcome the world. We do have the victory. In another passage in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." You know, this is a passage that we can take to our own hearts. We can be strong. We can have the word of God abiding in us, and we can overcome the wicked one. These young people today, they have set out on a journey to follow Jesus, and they should know, and we all should know, that there is victory in that journey. That journey is victorious, and in the end, the ultimate victory comes at the end of our lives. You know, the hopes and dreams and successes of the world, they all end when they die. You know, there's no more hope for them. There's no more success. There's no more fulfillment of your dreams. There's no more chance to make money or be famous. It's all over with. Death has won. But not for the Christian. For the Christian, death only means victory is now complete. Now the victory is in our hands. And, you know, when we cross over and meet Jesus, we'll see that we owe him everything. We'll see that we want to spend eternity with him, and that will be the ultimate happy ending. In closing, I'd like to read a passage out of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and starting at verse 50. He's talking about how that we will be changed, and how that our lives will be, our bodies will be changed, and how that this victory will be complete in our lives. Starting at verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I'd like to say that to these young people here. You know, as we realize that our past is taken care of, God has forgiven our past sins, we can overcome those things. We can get forgiveness. They don't have to be a hindrance in our life. And then we realize that our future is glorious. Our future is eternity with Jesus. Our future is victory. Then, as it says in verse 58, this is how we should live, as we realize that those two things are taken care of. We should be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor is not in vain. Our labor is not in vain because someday we will see the fruit of our labor. Someday we will have that victory complete and in our hands. Okay, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer at this time.